All right, good morning, church. How is everybody today? Good. Glad to see your faces here this morning. Glad to see you present with us. It's always a pleasure to have you. Welcome to Bethel. I will open us in prayer here this morning, and then we will be reading out of Isaiah 55 and Galatians 5. So let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning as a family of faith, gathered here in friendship and community, and we ask that you be present with us as we share in your word, found in Holy Scripture this morning, as well as the message prepared. Lift it up. We lift this the word and the message up to you this morning, as well as we ask that you help us to take it into our spirit and cherish it among our soul as we share the goodness of this season with those who are gathered around us and those who we may not even know. We may meet them for the first time this afternoon or tomorrow. Help us to share your joy and your hope and your peace and your love with them just simply by being present with them as our paths cross. Lord, come to us now and be with us as we celebrate and worship you in the word and the message. All these things we ask in thy service and thy name. Amen. Hung up. Here we go. All right. Isaiah 55. We're going to read that entire chapter. And then I'm going to move to Galatians really quick for just a few short verses. So I'm in the New Living Translation, so please follow along if you have your Bibles. We're going to begin in 55. This is the invitation to the Lord's salvation. It's prophesied by Isaiah. And I want you to pay attention to this, because I think it speaks directly to the gift of Christmas, the meaning of what we celebrate, and where we kind of are right now in the world, and maybe in ourselves too. So let's go and see what the Lord has to say. Is anybody thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow, they come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and his love. And found in Galatians 6, the Lord hears these words. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Those fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there with Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning and welcome to worship. I hope each of you are well. I hear some sniffling and some coughing, but I hope all that passes you soon. It's wonderful to see so many of you this morning. It's good to be present with you, and welcome back to church on this third Sunday of Advent. As we draw near, there is great joy felt by the hearts of the believers, those who are gathered in this room and those around the world. We look beyond today and into the coming week because it's Christmas, and Christmas comes quickly. Christmas is a highlight in our lives because we celebrate our Savior's birth. Christmas brings joy to all mankind, or at least it should. Listen to these words. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom His favor rests." Friends, I'm not sure about you, but those words bring me immense joy because they tell me of a God who loves me so much that He wanted to come and He wanted to be a part of my life. So He sent His only Son so that I could experience the joy that I will have and do have currently in my relationship with Him. This gives me immense hope, and it provides me with an insight of what my future will hold, regardless of what the world befalls me, regardless of the hurdles that people throw my way, regardless of the things that people may say behind my back or your back. We have great hope in the joy that comes with the coming of the Christ child, Jesus Christ. All of these joyful things should also dwell in your hearts as well. The prophecy of Isaiah and the eyewitness accounts of the shepherds who witnessed the amazing birth of our Savior, the love and joy Mary herself treasured in her heart and in her spirit, and the dedication and love and hope found within Joseph to his wife Mary. Wow, those are wow moments. Think about the joy that those individuals, those this small examples of the Christmas story that I share with you, that's a wow moment. Those are amazing accounts of the joy of the coming of Christ. You know, I have witnessed several times a mother's vision of her child being born. I was personally there. I see the love from the eyes of a mother every day into the eyes of our daughter. That is joy. That's immense joy that we all see in our relationships. As I spoke to the children today, I talked about those relationships. That's the joy that Christ brings. You see, we are in a relationship with Him. He is in one with us. And thus, we are in a relationship with each other. And that is no greater found than anywhere than in our family cores and in our units. The experience that we revisit each and every year of Christ's coming through Christmas, that's the joy that we should carry in our hearts each and every day of our lives. You know, I want that kind of joy. In fact, I desire that kind of joy from the Lord in my life. I want the Lord's joy in my heart and in my spirit. This would be a life like no other. This world we live in every day looks for some type of happiness, but not many are looking in the right places. Many are looking well beyond or not even in the same direction as our Lord. As explained in Isaiah this morning, many are wanting joy, but they are looking everywhere except for God and God's gift of His Son, baby Jesus. Friends, we celebrate Christmas because we're celebrating the Lord's joy, what He brought to the world. That's what the day's all about. That's what the Advent season is all about. That's what Christmas means. The joy brought to the world by an infant child, so innocent, but yet so powerful, all in the same. But unfortunately, as I said, the majority of the world is looking elsewhere. Christmas and into the new year to come, they look elsewhere. I said, I believe in a previous sermon, you know, many people will pack him up out of the closet, put him on a manger scene somewhere on a mantle or a table in their life, or in their houses, or during their lifetime in through the Christmas season. They will see him just as you see him before me this morning in a manger scene. And as soon as Christmas is over, they will pack him up and put him away. That's not the joy that Christ came to share with the world. That's not the joy that you and I share as a believer. And that's not the joy that we should share with the world, because we are faith. Although there are many examples of joy in Holy Scripture, the two scriptures we read about this morning talk about the joy of the Lord and what it is. Again, as I have said before, it's really simple. It's simple to love the Lord because the way He came to the world to love us was as simple as it gets. Simply through a birth of a child. The joy of the Lord is the gladness of heart that comes from taking the time to know God, abiding in Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which each one of us do and have. When Jesus was born, the angels announced a proclamation. It was so simple, we've probably overlooked it. It says this: good tidings of great joy we bring. Simple, isn't it? Jesus simply brings joy because He came to save us. In Isaiah this morning, we were told He is the only real joy in the world. So if we're looking for joy elsewhere, if we're looking for joy underneath the Christmas tree, wrapped up in a package, we're likely not going to find it. But if we came here to this ministry this morning, if we came here to service in this chapel where love exists through Christ Jesus, if we came here seeking joy, you'll get it. You'll find it. It's here. It's present here at Bethel. You see, being in the right relationship with God causes us to rejoice when we hear the name Jesus. It brings us peace when we hear His name. Jesus brings peace on earth even when we don't believe things are peaceful. The Christmas season ought to bring us joy. It was not meant to be a time of sorrow. And yet there are things that the world befalls us travestily around this time of season. We see tragedies and we see loss and we see all kinds of things throughout the Christmas and Thanksgiving season. And it brings us sorrow, but that's not the joy that God brings us. Even in the midst of our trials and tribulations, the joy that was within our Holy Spirit that we share with the world should overcome that. Yes, these losses are hard. It makes our holidays a little different. But yet it also makes our holidays more special. And let me tell you why. You see, what I observe when we experience trouble or trouble befalls us or we have a loss or anything like that, what I observe from an outsider's perspective most of the time is I see a family. I see friendships. I see all kinds of things come together to make sure that the hurt and the pain goes away. I see the love that overbounds the trouble that has befallen someone. They bring all that together to shelter each other and love on each other and bring them maybe just an ounce of joy in their sorrow. That's the joy that Christ talks about. That's the joy that God wants us to share. The joy that is always prevalent regardless of the circumstances. It's because we dwell on the incidents of life or the situations that we lose our joy. And those are the things that we have to be cautious of. Because this season, this day, this particular day, we celebrate the joy of Christ. Make no mistake, when Christ was born, there were things going on in the world that were very troublesome. You look at Joseph and what he had to endure by the message Mary gave him prior to Jesus' birth. Do you not think he was troubled? Do you not think his heart was broken? But yet it was the best Christmas he had ever experienced in his life when Jesus arrived. What I'm trying to share with you and say to you this morning is, don't allow the world to interfere with the joy that you celebrate this Christmas season. Don't allow the world to interfere with your happiness. Don't allow the world to come between you and your family and your friends and your loved ones. Express the joy that comes with you as a follower of Jesus Christ, the one found within the Spirit, the gift, the true gift of Jesus to us before He ascended into heaven. Christmas, friends, is all about Jesus. Not circumstances and not whether we have gifts to exchange. The wise men brought gifts, but we're to bring ourselves to the Savior. We're to bring ourselves to worship. He expresses great joy in a life relationship with you and I. Because our joy in the Lord is confined within our personal relationship with Him, we are blessed. It cannot be stolen. No matter what life brings us, it cannot be stolen. It cannot be snatched away. It cannot be just circumstantial. The joy that we have in Christ is foundational. It's our joy. It's His joy given to us. Friends, we have an inheritance that has given us hope. It's an inheritance of joy from the Heavenly Father that He sent His Son. And that relationship between you and me and Jesus doesn't get broken. It doesn't get lost. It's never outdated. It's because of the joy that God sent us through His Son that Christmas night. It is the gift that keeps on giving. We read this morning in Galatians that joy is a part of the Spirit of God. Scripture declares that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those great things. That's what joy is. That's what the Holy Spirit brings us. If we possess His Spirit, we have everything we need in these tumultuous times that we call the world. The joy of the Lord is a distinguishing mark of a believer. If we hung a sign around our neck today and we wanted to let the world know that we were a believer in Jesus Christ, I think we could certainly hang a sign that says joyful. Because regardless of what life brings us, in Christ we have hope. And in hope we have eternal life. And in hope we are loved by a God who loved us so much that He sent His baby son. We find joy with Christ abiding in us and being filled with His Holy Spirit. That's the gift that you and I have. That's where it rests. Even in a world, friends, that seems to have no time for God and has no room in their end for Him today, we must find time. This morning is an example of that time that we find. Thursday night at 6:30 at our Living Nativity, that's an example of the time we find. Thursday evenings at 6:30 on any given day, Bible study is an example of the things, that time that we find for the things that are important to Christ. Hugging a friend, giving a simple phone call, those are the things that are important in this time of season of giving. Give of yourself, not of your monetary value. It doesn't need to be wrapped in a box and a bow. It simply needs to be your handshake or your arm around each other or a hug or an exchange of a meal or sharing in one's time. That's what Christ is all about. This morning, my prayer is that Jesus enhances and restores your joy in your life. That's my prayer this morning. I want Him to enhance and restore your joy in your life the way it was intended to be given in the life of a believer, sent to us in the form of the innocence of a child. If you need joy this morning, grab it. It's right here. It's present in this hallowed place because Jesus Christ exists here in the halls of Bethel Presbyterian. If you have joy, take it. Hold on to it. Because you're being blessed by the Holy Spirit. You're being blessed by the presence of God in your life. Hold on to that. But here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to take a little bit, maybe a lot of it, and He wants you to share it with the Lord. And He then wants you to share it with the world that exists around you. Even all of its brokenness, He wants you to bring joy into that environment. Be a blessing by maintaining a relationship with God and others that He puts in your path. Your past may only cross for moments. You may only have a second of time to share the goodness and the joy and the beauty of this season. Don't waste it. You're a disciple of Christ Jesus. He came in joy. So shall we live in joy. The greatest joy of all is our salvation and our relationship with God. Remember, He sent His Son so that you and I can have it. That is the greatest gift of all. Christ Jesus is the world's true gift of joy. You and I have it. Let's share it. Let's be a part of it. Let's be a part of this ministry. The world will send you roadblocks. I told you that before. But here's what I want you to remember as I close this message in the last sentence. The world's going to send you roadblocks. It's going to send you anxiety. It's going to send you defeat. It's going to send you a loss or two or three. It's going to send you things that you were not prepared for. They're simply roadblocks in the eyes of a believer. And why are they roadblocks, you may ask? Well, I want you to remember the shepherds and the wise men. You see, they didn't know about a stable in Bethlehem. But the minute the joy gift arrived, a light appeared in the sky, a Christmas star. And regardless of whether they were in on a mountaintop or a valley or navigating their way through a town, they kept their eye on that Christmas star. And lo and behold, they found Him lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes for you and for me. So this season of Christmas, look beyond the commercialization. Look beyond the things that the world wants you to see. Look inside of Christmas. Look inside and find the joy in Christ, for He's just under the Christmas star. And that's where you keep your eye navigating on that star. And you too shall find Christ. You see, that star wasn't just for the wise men and the shepherds. It was for me and you. Amen.